Hello and welcome to Audionautic Deep Space Network episode 107. Every time I hear that intro music, I'm reminded I really need to change the strings on my Jazzmaster because that's the one I use. That's in drop A, which you'd never guess from that song. It's in drop A because it's just like clean, pleasant guitar tones, but it is in drop A and I can't tell which way. It's behind me there and it just needs some love. Anyways, this is the Independent Musician's Guide to Production and Promotion. And this week, we've got a pre-release first look at the new Bliss multiband compressor. And then, thanks to our patron Abby, we're going to take a look at MPC Stems and see how it compares to other stem separation apps. My name is Sunwarper, and with me today are Curtis and Eon Lake. And I want to say hello to everybody in the chat. We started a bit late because we had a listening party for our Discord challenge. But we've got Pat in the chat. How are you doing, Pat? We've got Smiling Ears, who is over in our listening party and had an awesome submission. If you're in the Discord, I would recommend checking it out. It's pretty trippy. And if you're not in the Discord, you should definitely head to it. The link is in the description. I believe, Curtis, you set this one up. I think you got the Discord link in there. But if not, we'll get it in, after. We've also got Abby. Abby, how are you? Thanks for sending those stems over. We'll take a look soon. And we've also got Ross. Ross, how are you doing? Let's see. I think I ran through everybody. Yeah, like, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah? I see there's something. I thought it was a UFO at first. But what is that behind your shoulder?
My hand pan. I've got a hand pan now. Yeah. So I can lose myself.
Yeah, there you go.
It's the best way to be gear acquisition syndrome is the best way to get through everything, isn't it?
Really? There we go.
Yeah, like the ultimate kalimba.
Yeah.
Oh, don't start, man. We do not all need to go down this path of hand pan kalimba darkness where all we do is just keep getting more and more.
Curtis will follow me. You'll see. You'll
see. Get there. You. Speaking of Curtis, how are you, my friend?
Good. Yeah. Hell of a week. I haven't touched the keyboard in about 5 days. I went to the woods and didn't look at a computer screen. It was amazing. So feeling a bit rejuvenated. It's wonderful.
That's great.
That's cool.
That's the way to go. I just want to mention too that Smiling Ears asked, Kalimba is the finger pluck? Yes, it's this amazing little piece of gear.
That's cute. That's
can't quite reach mine.
That's a little out of tune, but don't worry, Ian. Like, I've got you covered. I do quickly want to say a massive thanks to Curtis because speaking of weeks, I've had a hell of a week, so I couldn't do much in terms of the prep for some of this stuff. So Curtis was very kind to get a lot of it done. So I just want to say massive thanks to him, especially with the Bliss end of it. I handled a lot of the stems thanks to Abby, but he was able to get the Bliss done. I was trying to do it last night at 11 p.m. and I was just like, my eyes they couldn't stay up. And I was like, I just messaged Curtis, like, you could just do it, man. I'm sorry. Like, I can't do this. And he's like, I got it. Cause luckily with our time changes, my 11 PM is his like morning. So yeah
that's is how it, since the little Sunwarper has come along, it has been those tail end of times with just those little pockets. And, no, it's all good. We're a team. And at some point, I'm going to have a kid, I'm sure. And then I'll have the sleepless nights and I'll have the lack of everything.
And I'll be there for you.
You'll be there because that's how it started. It all started with Trans-Pacific and now all of a sudden we have a weekly live stream. Who knows where it will go?
Who knows? All right. Well, how about we get into Bliss? So we've got, they've got a new plugin coming out, I believe tomorrow for $29. It's a multi-band compressor and they were kind enough to send it over to us to check out before it comes out. And I just want to give a quick disclaimer that they sent it over to us, but they don't have any say in the content or our opinions. They're our own. And Curtis is the one that got to check it out. He's got a video for us. But Curtis, anything you want to say before we cut to the video?
Multi-brand compression has never been sexy, but Bliss made it sexy.
Until like, now.
Let's get into it. And it's a long, the video is just to shout before we get into it. We'll have a discussion after. It's assuming that everyone knows what multiband compression is, what it does, and what the difference is between multiband compression and compression. If listening back or whatever, you're a bit unsure, then we can always have a conversation about
it. Let me just give a quick preamble to that then. So multiband compression is basically four compressors or multiple compressors in one that you can set each one to different frequency spectrums. of where you want to go with the compressor. So it just gives a little more nuance in terms of control for your compression. And typically on masters, it's nice if you don't have, you know, the full stems mm-hmm. and that, because you can go, oh, the low end sounds really good, but these mids need some mm-hmm. tweaking. You can take the compressor and do a different type of compressor setting on it and change the volumes and things like that. There's a lot more nuance and things like that, but that's kind of the quick summary of it. And so I understand what you're saying, Curtis, that it's a bit dull. It's necessary. It's an awesome mm-hmm. effect to have. But yeah, I'm assuming the way Bliss designs their UIs and things like that carries over to this. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. Ian, like anything you want to add or correct me on in terms of multiband compression?
No, I was just going to say, have you ever got one of those multi-band EQ outputs where it gives you a readout and you can see everything bouncing around? You'll notice that it bounces in different frequency ranges at different times. So this is a tool that you can tune to those ranges to sit on the peaks. So you don't necessarily hear it pumping on a mix because it's compressing the different ranges at different times, potentially different ratios and speeds and whatnot. So it's a bit more subtle, but it can really help a mix. You can tighten up the low end and bring out some mids and so on, and kind of balance the tone with it a bit, depending on how much you use.
I use a multiband compressor on pretty much every master mm-hmm. I do for Audionautic Records, for my music. And if you want to see how it works in terms of on a master for a track, let us know, because I am going to download the plugin and get to check it out. I just haven't had a chance. But if you want that kind of see what it's like on a master, let us know in the chat, in the comments, or on our Discord if you're watching this back, either on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or anything like that. But Curtis, you got to check it out. I know you said you think it's sexy. So anything else before we move over and check out what you've done with it?
No, let's save the discussion and everything. Let's go for it. And it's a 9-minute video, nearly 10 minutes. Let's
have a 9:57. I'm looking at it right now.
9:57. Yeah. Do you feel you're in? Do you need me to let it go? Yeah.
It should be fine if I trigger it, but maybe you should just in case.
Right. No worries. See you guys on the other side. Here we go. This is a little run through, a little first look at the new multiband compression plugin that Bliss sent over to us in a beta ahead of release. Thank you ever so much. Really appreciate it. And it's been really nice to play around with. This is released Thursday, 4th of April, fully. Usually multiband compression is something which is kind of dull, not really talked about much. You know, it's not sexy, let's face it. But it does, in this instance, Bliss have done a really good job of making it interesting and making it fun. Now, and this is just a first look. This is just kind of what we think, or what I think, just kind of opening it up and playing through. So we're going to start by going over the UI. We're going to start going over how it looks and how it works. And then we're going to run it through some loops. I've got a drum loop. Oh, you can't see because of my camera. I got a drum loop. I got a bass loop, and I got an arpeggiated synth pad loop thing. Thanks ever so much to LaunchTick for sending this over. Fellow producer, awesome guy, really good fun. Has just got this bank of samples that he just went, here, have these. So yeah, share me the love. So appreciation where appreciation is due. Thank you ever so much. So let's take a look. I have found that when it comes to synthesizers, it's better than drums in that regard, straight off the bat. But that, again, that could be down to the limitations of me and where I'm at. Their presets are fine. As ever with Bliss, they send a lot of nice presets, which to get you started. They've got some emulations of OTT. They've got some classic clean masters, for example. They've got some classic sidechaining, compression. And then they've got some really interesting ones like, where are we? Where is it? Disrespectful, for example, Cthulhu Is Real, where they just kind of really destroy the sound. So always fun to play around. If you don't know what multiband compression is or how to use it, this is a really good way to start experimenting. For now, we're going to assume that you're listening and knowing what multiband compression is and what it does to avoid this video from being too long. But yeah, so we'll have a look. So let's start with this drum loop. I'll give you the dry sound. Standard kind of housey, dancey, beat, lovely, you know. And let's make this let's put this around, let's play around with, for example, drum machine. So instantly, just by moving things around, you can see that we can really manipulate the different frequencies within a very defined category, relatively easy, relatively quickly. As we come in, you can see we've got a low, a mid, and a high, standard multi-band compression, very visually pleasing and very striking in that regard, and makes something not sexy very sexy and intuitive. We can play with our bands from here and here, for example. We can move them up, lose our threshold from below and above, and we can also do the same thing overall here, which is quite nice to see on this right hand side here. You can solo your individual sounds. It's probably better. And we can mute them. So we can really get into the fine tuning and the fine understanding of what these sounds are doing inside one sample or inside one stem, for example, which is really nice to see. Essentially, you can see, if we just get rid of this, with a few clicks, I can really alter the sound that I've got coming through. I can get rid of that low end. I can really push the highs. Lovely. Really nice. Straight off the bat. No messing around. Straight into it. On the right-hand side, you'll see that you've got a master, as you can see here, which, again, just dry and wet. On the general side, we've got the input, how much signal is going to come through. And we've got the percentage of attack, release, the knee, for example. And over here on the left-hand side, we've got the sidechain. Now, this is one thing I will say. It could be me. It could be my own myopic experience of a shaven space monkey. The Betas is a bit unstable with the sidechain, unless it's in the presets. It could be me and my lack of understanding, and this is just a first look. But I have seen that this is not as responsive as perhaps I'd like it to be, and it makes me want to just do normal sidechaining through the way I regularly do it in Ableton. Again, that could be me. Fully put my hand up and say, in the time that I've spent with this, I haven't got it to work, but there may be something I'm missing, something to do. The sidechaining presets, however, do work quite nicely. So we'll have to see what happens upon release tomorrow. Again, Thursday, 4th of April. We have a look at it, right? So that's what happens if we put the multiband compressor itself on a drum loop. Quite nice. Can instantly play around. Do you want something that's crunchy? Do you want something that's quite thin? Do you want to ultimately move it around? That kind of thing. Quite nice in that regard. Let's come along to the bass, because this is where things really start getting interesting. As you can see, I've got a couple on here that, because I've been playing around. I'll just give you my dry signal first. Perfectly beautiful little piece of EDM music there. No, I'm going to leave that one for now, because it's again, it's a sidechain, but I am going to bring up this one. Let's get rid of that for now. Standard bass boost, for example. What I love about this plugin, especially on the low end, I really like looking at the low end, is that if you are boosting, say, the low end, with many multiband compressors, I find is that you lose the clarity in the mid-range, for example. But with this plugin, that's just not the case. You can boost the lows, and you don't have to necessarily sacrifice the compression of the mids, and you can make them work in a nice balance. And I really like that with this plugin. So, for example, now that is a really low end sound where the low end is completely overpowering the rest of everything, right? But if we come back to it, we can now bring in the mids without any sacrifice of sound, and can allow for that crunch while that overly boomy low end. Now, that might be not, but maybe it is what you're going for, and this is a really good way of doing it. So let's bring that mid-range back in. So yeah, so with sound, we can say, hey, that's not just a EDM dubsteppy kind of low end bass. We can do so much with that. And the wonderful thing about Bliss, always, whether you're looking at their mono synth, whether you're looking at the mega synth, the megalit, for example, their alpha synth, whatever, their wonderful thing is their modulation capabilities, which is what brings me across to this sample. As you can see from the offset underneath here, everything can be manipulated, which is really nice to see. And it's really, it's dope in that regard, because you can really get into the nitty gritties of what you want to see. So I just want to show you what you can do with this in that regard. I've got a standard multiband compressor here. I'll show you the dry signal. Standard. Really nice standard lead line, arpeggiated lead line. Now, if I modulate the band between the low and the high, I can grab a little filter in there, right? So if I turn on my LFO in the bottom right, as you can see. Modulation there, and then okay, so let's do the same with the high band frequency. So let's put another LFO in there, and suddenly let's do the high band frequency for that. That's going to go all over. The ability to modulate and the ability to manipulate the sounds that come through so easily with Bliss, we consistently see throughout.
Okay. That is a sexy plugin. Thanks for showing it. Anything you want to add now that you've, by the way, I was like, that arpeggio was cool. Once you got that, the movement to it, man, that really made it stand out. I like that.
It's cool.
Oh, Ross asks a question. I don't know if you know the answer, but let's find out. Ross asks, can you attach the controls to MIDI controllers to get that tactile? I would assume so. It's probably all MIDI CC. Curtis, what's your take?
Yeah, completely. It's all MIDI CC. You can, in theory, I can map it to the launch control if I wanted to. Yes, you can do anything you want in that regard. It's highly flexible.
Yeah, or you can map them to Ableton macros, and you have the same control over them that you would normally have in that way as well.
It helps, yeah.
And you can put them on XY pads and stuff like that if you wanted to.
Can you imagine that standing at the other side of the room just fiddling? That'd be great.
Ian, like, what's your take?
I like it. I think it would take a little while for me to get used to the visual display of the three bands and pulling things up from the bottom as well as down from the top. But I do think, you know, with the soloing of the three bands and so on, and the flexibility of the crossover points and all of that, I think you can use it really quite violently or as delicately as you want to, really. What I'm wondering is, you know, I'm certainly going to test it a little bit myself and run full mixes through it. One of the things I do like to get from a multiband compressor on a mix is that tightening up of the low end where you just get it to sit on the peaks a bit so that when you get a thumping kick or something like that, it's tight. It hits, but it stops. It doesn't boom and go flabby and loose, mm-hmm. You know. It has that lovely tightening up effect where the rest of the track can kind of stay, you know, the way that it is. Maybe you're bringing up a little bit of saturation or something, but, you know, you get that tightening at the low end that stops it sounding flabby and indistinct. And I just wonder how well it can sort of hit on that sort of thing. Because the one I usually use is a Drama, and I don't think it's particularly subtle, but the fact that it's multi-band, you can get away with it. But yeah, I mean, it certainly looks pretty easy to use. I mean, maybe it's just because I'm kind of used to the way that they draw their user interfaces and so on, but the color coding helps, and it's all quite practical and you know, a control per feature. You know, you're not menu diving or anything to use it, are you? It's only really presets that involve that, aren't they? So
yeah, I think that's one of the best things with Bliss is how everything is just so easy to use. They color code it and everything, and the UI is always so great at just kind of learning how to navigate it. I see another question, but chat, if you have any questions before we move to the next topic, either for Curtis or just about multiband compression, but about specifically the Bliss one, let us know before we move to the next topic. I just wanted to add, so it's $29. I think I mentioned it at the start, but it comes out tomorrow. Curtis, are you able to put a link in the description for Bliss? Not description, sorry, the chat. I'll put a link in the description, and if you're watching on Apple and Spotify, please consider giving us a rating or a review. It helps a ton, but I'll have the link in the show notes as well. Bliss has sent us a lot of really cool plugins, and every single one has always amazed us with how great it is. And I mean, this is just our own opinion, but they're very good. They're pretty affordable too. One thing, a lot of them have CPU, you know, they're pretty heavy on the CPU, especially the synths, but this one, it sounds like, is not. And I know they had mentioned to us that it's pretty good on the CPU. So I want to ask you, Curtis, what was your take on its CPU usage?
Pretty good in that regard.
Yeah.
I was only running a few audio samples, but I didn't have any problems. I can report back. I'm playing around with your standards in my live stream after the show, and I will be using it there, so I can let you know.
There we go. Yeah, and this is again just a first look. I want to, like Eon, like put it through its paces in terms of mastering and see how it does. So if you want us to cover that and show it, let us know. We'll happily cover it in a future one. But yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to check it out on some masters and things. We've got some masters actually coming through from Eon Lake that I have to do. So maybe I'll throw that on there. Mm. And Ross asks, let's go to Eon Lake for this. Would you trust a multiband for your kick?
I would trust my ears if I were testing a multiband on a kick. I'm not against the idea. I've never tried it.
Yeah, the reason I threw it to you was because band compression is usually for me for masters, where I can really control those different sections a little more, and it's, you know, maybe 1 to 2 extra dB of compression, especially in maybe the high end and the low end, a little pumping and things like that. But when it comes to a kick, me personally, I would typically shape it with EQ filters and just sources, you know, making the source of the kicks where I want it, and maybe try different sample layers and things like that. But that's a good idea to try it on a kick. Well, Curtis, what about you? Go ahead, Ian. Carry on.
I do often compress them. I just don't use multiband.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
sometimes I would key the compressor to like the bass frequency, and usually it's with a slow attack, so you get that slap that you enhance. If it needs to have more of a slap to the click part of the sound. It depends what you're trying to do with it. You might really like the top end of it and just think it's a little bit flabby. You could try just compressing the low end of it just to, you know, make it sound a little bit tight without affecting the rest of it. It's, you know.
Or tame the high end, because I find a lot of kicks have a lot in the high frequencies and it just, like, it's not necessarily needed. Typically, I mean, you want some. But maybe you could use the multiband to kind of shape the high end and get a little more pump in the low end and things like that.
Yeah, because you've got an output for each band, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly.
On it, and then say, "Well, just back that off a little bit."
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Russ. We'll check it out. I'll try it on a kick and on the master. I'll report back maybe in a few weeks or something, depending on life. But Smiling Eris asks, "Are you on the laptop?" I think in reference to, well, both Curtis, but just for usage of the CPU, I'll be using it on my M2 laptop, the MacBook. So I'll report back how it is on mine as well. And also a big hello to Asef Stripe. How's it going? Welcome. Always happy to have you. How are you? Curtis, anything you want to add before we move on?
I think it's a really good introduction to multiband compression if it is something that's still a little bit murky to you. Both for the ease of use, accessibility is only $29, and especially if you are a visual learner and if you're a visual worker, lots of multiband compressors that are not stock, I find at least, are all full of knobs, and they're all kind of emulated from digital, or sorry, analog sources, for example. And that can get quite a bit dull and quite a bit kind of difficult to work your head around. This has that answer to that, if in that regard, short and sweet.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's move on from there to some Discord news. We just finished our over under 5 Discord challenge, and it was a lot of fun. This got me, especially, well, me out of my comfort zone, working on a longer track and figuring it out. I was not able to finish, but I did get it over 6 minutes, not even over 5. I got it over 6, and the version I was working on was gonna be about 8, but I just didn't get to finish that, and I didn't even get to mix it. But yeah, it was a lot of fun to try and get there. And I liked shaping it. I just used every trick I could think of to just make it longer and longer, like really slow BPM, long pads and things like that. But not a drone, you know, not that. But I tried to use all free plugins as well. So I used the Sur that we covered a couple episodes, and then the Cherry Audio SEM, which is quickly becoming one of my favorites. But we had a great listening party right before the show. And we've got a new Discord challenge that the deadline is May 15th. So there's plenty of time. And again, we've got a simple challenge, but I mean, there's lots of room for messing with it. The challenge is work in a genre you don't normally work in. So like, I do electronic music. Now there's a lot of subgenres, but I'm going way out. I'm going to do industrial metal, and I'm shooting to do it on the SP404. So that's my goal. And that's why I need that Jazzmaster I was talking about before. We need the drop A for that. Eon, like, do you have any thoughts on genre you're going to do?
Yes. There's part of me that wants to do a side.
Join
trance.
Me. Oh, there's I was going to say, do some metal with me.
Because it's something that I love, and but it's something I plan to be doing anyway. So maybe that's a cop out. There's also a part of me that wants me to do some proto techno industrial type damage, you know, something just plain, you know, driving and not necessarily pleasant.
Yeah.
That's what it makes me want to do.
Spire says singing. If that's for me, if there's time, I do want to add some screaming to it, because I haven't done screaming since a very long time in high school in my metal band. But that could be fun. But I don't know if there'll be time. But maybe I could just ask ChatGPT to write some like industrial metal lyrics, and I'll just sing it. Curtis, do you have any thoughts on genre?
Just give me the latest Spotify update and a mic.
That's right. Yeah. Just I'll tell you what, Eon, like, write me some lyrics about the dire situation of Spotify, and I'll just scream it into the void.
I'll just F-bomb for 5 minutes solid.
Hey, that works. Maybe we can't play it on the show, but we can play it in the listening party. Curtis, any thoughts on genre for you?
My initial thought was Slovenian early modern folk.
I thought you were gonna go hyper pop.
No, I've been making a lot of that recently, and so that would be a cop out. I mean, it's just sitting there waiting to go. I was thinking maybe it's an excuse for me to break out the acoustic guitar. I haven't broken it out in a while, and something with the Pima method, like the picking, finger picking, that kind of thing, get that back up to scratch.
Yeah,
maybe something along those lines. I've been wanting to write an all guitar album this year. I am a guitarist. I don't know how drums? Much of that is a cop out. Everything is derived from the guitar.
So even the percussion would be from the guitar, like hitting an acoustic guitar or something. Yeah.
Very cool. So maybe that would be a nice springboard into that. I haven't done that in a while. So maybe, but then also I am a guitarist. So maybe that's a cop out.
No. What I mean by genre is just like, you normally work with like trip hop and like ambient. That's what I mean. I don't mean the instruments you typically use. I'm talking the genres of music that you work in. So like for me, it would be lo-fi, synthwave, ambient, some IDM. So I'm like, well, screw it. I almost got caught there getting a bleep. But I'm like, well, why not just go just completely the other direction? I love industrial metal. Let's just go for that. So that's what I'm doing. But I mean, you don't have to go that far. Like if you typically work in IDM, you could do house music, or you could do boom bap, or, you know, I mean, those can have some similarities, but you know what I mean? Just, it doesn't matter how far away, just do something outside of your norm. Let's just put it that way. And the submissions will go in. I'm going to change the over under channel on our Discord to the genre challenge channel. Ooh, that's kind of a hard one to say. We might think of a different name, but that will always be our challenge channel. So you just submit on there. May 15th is the deadline. So we hope to see you all there. If you're not in the Discord yet, join. The link is in the description. We'll put it in the show notes. Head over there. There's a lot to talk about. It's awesome. And patrons also get additional channels over on there. So yeah, Curtis, I don't know if you have anything you want to add there. Oh, and he put it right in the... I always talk to you when you're typing, man. I don't even look. That's why. But you're just typing. But he got the Discord in the chat. It should work as a link if you're watching live. And again, afterwards, it will be in the description.
It's good for a week, I think. So if you're catching this less than a week, we don't have Nitro Boost yet, so we can't do 30-day or infinite link. So if it's over 7 days, it will be dead. But just go to Discord, search Audio Nautic, and you'll find it there.
Yeah, or hit us up on our socials. The link is, well, we can always give you the link. Because
you do post it every week, though, don't we?
Yeah, I always set it to never expire, but I think it just does expire. It doesn't work because we're not Nitro. So
yeah, we have to be Nitro. And so yeah, we'll get there. The Czechs have a saying, Crocs or Crocem, step by step. One day we'll get Nitro. And that is all about growth, and that is all about doing more with this. And you know, we create this content every week, and we are not sponsored, which allows us to do whatever we want whenever we want, and allow us to interact and create a semi-democratic process with our patrons. And it's thanks to our patrons that we are here. Thank you ever so much for your continued support week in, week out. Times are tough, and you know, it's not an easy time to put your money in different places. So thank you ever so much for putting your money here in direct support. It's the best way to support us. If you like what we do, and you want to support us, and you want to see us grow, and you want to see us do more things, consider becoming a patron. If you go across to patreon.com/audionautic, you can see their pledges start at as little as $2 per month. You get access to our own exclusive channel on Discord and on x.com. We do Star Stream hangouts once a month where we just sit and shoot. I can't say that word because we'll get blanks, but we'll shoot the cheddar.
Yeah.
Shoot the breeze. That's the one. Thank you, Ian Luke. And yeah, we just nerd out completely. This is a very nerdy episode. We're talking about multi-band compression and stem separation. But can you imagine if it was even more nerdy and you do that on a Sunday with our patrons in the Starstream hangout? So thank you ever so much.
Nobody throws anything at you.
Exactly. Yeah, or tells you to stop.
Exactly.
Where the eyes just glaze over, like, what are you even talking about? Yeah. Envelope follower? What is that?
Exactly. It was wonderful. As well as that, you go up the if you go up the pledges, you go higher up, you get early access to mine and Sunwarper's releases. You also get early access to Audio Nautic releases on our sister channel, Audio Nautic Records YouTube, plus sample packs, extra stuff, bits and bobs, and just a wonderful community. So come and be a part of it if you want to be.
Yeah, it means the world. There's a lot of stuff we do, and your support helps us keep doing this without advertisements and stuff like that. So just hanging out here is always more than enough. But if you want to help the show and help us do more coverage of plugins and things like that, that's the best way to help us do that. But now we'll move over to stem separation. A nerdy topic, but this is an important topic because this is just a lot of options are coming out. There's a ton of different ones. Some have more artifacting, some have less. But it's important to note because, I mean, I remember, I think it was Rick Beato used to always play stems before stem separation was a big thing. And he might have actually had the stems, but it was always like, how do you get that? Because you can just learn so much from hearing the individual stems in a track. Because when I was doing covers of like Boards of Canada before I knew about stem separation, I was panning things left and right to isolate, doing all sorts of EQ to just like get as little of the other instruments as possible. And now, I mean, stem separation is still limited to just 4 tracks. But you can actually separate drums, separate bass, separate the vocals, and then the melody and things like that. I'm hoping as it gets more advanced, we see more than the 4 tracks. But as you'll see, there can be some artifacting with some of these that kind of cause bleed between the different sections and things like that. So MPC Stems recently released. Before we do the stem shootout, though, Curtis, could you just show the link for the MPC Stems? I see you have that video queued up, or the audio queued up. I just want to show that first. So MPC just released their new stems, and it's not standalone. So it has to be, I think, connected. Yeah, like you can correct this for me, but it has to be connected, what, to the computer and the MPC program or something?
Well, I've not tried it yet, but you can run MPC on a desktop as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I know supposedly Stems is not standalone. If you use MPC, you can correct us in the chat. Eon Lake has one, but what I've seen, it's not in standalone, at least yet. You have to be, I think, connected to the program on the desktop or, you know, on your computer. So it looks like it's $9.99 here. I think, Curtis, that's, you had mentioned it was...
It's my information was wrong. I thought it was it was $11.99.
So it is $10. Okay, so it is $10. Yeah. It's $10. And our patron Abby got it and sent us some stems. So I had stem separated my track farther from a couple years back using RipX here on the channel. And I couldn't find those stems, but we've got FL stem split, Koala stem split, and then MPC stem split for these tracks. And I'm going to put all of the stems in the Discord for the highest quality if you want to listen to them, because we're doing this over the internet. There's going to be, you know, compression and artifacting and low resolution just because of the stream. So if you want to hear it properly, head to our Discord. They'll be in there after the show. But so what do we want to start with? Do we want to start with stems, or do we want to start with Koala or FL? Koala to me is always the lowest in terms of quality. It's like $5 on a $5 app, but you can actually stem split.
Let's go with sort of expectation. So maybe Koala first.
All right, let's go with Koala.
Well, you'd probably expect to be a bit better. And then, I don't know about you, but I think, you know, Akai and sampling and stem splitting, I'm expecting things. So,
I like this order. I like this order. All right, Curtis, I'm going to share it. And then let's show the original source. Let's play about maybe 30 seconds, because I think that's where the vocals start to come in.
Okay.
You just can play at the start.
It's a good sound test as well. So let me know that.
Let's hope it works. There it is.
Go to the bass comes in.
Vocal. Okay, perfect.
Kill it there. So, could listen to the song all day, but we'll have to stop it there for now.
Well, thank you. Let's go with Koala first.
Okay.
And I think you'll see some of the interesting artifacts that pop up, especially it really struggled with the vocals.
Okay. Do you want me to just go straight in with the vocals then?
Yeah, let's do that. So you'll have to skip a little bit, but maybe you don't. I mean, it'll be kind of silent, but there's a lot of artifacting.
There is. There is artifacts. If you said there is a lot of reverb and delay on the voice, so that could be a while, but also,
but you'll see what the other ones do.
Well, this is it. Yeah, so let's do this for now. So this is Koala vocals.
So it gets the vocals, but there's a lot of drum and it's kind of phasing in and out. And I noticed that on the MPC as well. When we get to it, there's some like almost comb filtering or something, but the MPC got the vocals a lot better. I noticed later in the song the vocals actually became cleaner. I think where there's parts where there's less instruments going on now, there is a lot of layers. There's like a refrain in the song where I think it's just bass and vocals or something like that, and it picks up the vocals a lot better there. So the less that's going on, obviously, it's picking up more properly. Do we want to hear the drums?
Yeah, why not? These are the drums. Yeah. Let's try the drums. You can hear
picking
that
up the guitar.
Yeah. A bit of your voice as well.
Yeah, and I always notice the drums on Koala stem split have this almost like doubling effect on the kick. But here it's a lot cleaner, but it's still
there.
Yeah. And then you'll notice some of the cymbals aren't there, but they're in the melody and voice. It kind of just gets all over the place. Yeah. All right. So shall we, is there anything else we want to hear on Koala? And again, I apologize if the compression and all that is making it a little tinny. Yeah, we did not do Melody. Let's do the Melody. Let's do that. So Melody is always my least favorite thing because it just takes everything that's not vocals, bass, and drums and throws it in. I wish it could get more split. And I understand there's limitations and all that for now, but it's like it'd be nice if you could get synth and then lead or something like that. Mm. Now, the synth will sound super clean at the start because that's the only thing that opens the track. So
yes,
so again, that's an unfair...
I will go to about 47. I'll tell you what, I'll go into 30 seconds when the bass comes in.
Okay.
And we'll hear it from there. This is Koala Melody.
Picking up some vocals. Some snare too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what I found interesting when I played all four stems together, it sounded like the song, but separate. Yeah. So it's getting all these parts separated, but it's having struggles with separating it properly. Like there's cymbal bleed or actual cymbals in the vocals. But when you play it all together, it's all there. It's just being split in a strange way.
They're like jigsaw, so you don't get a clean separation between them. You get little bits that stick out, but they fit into the other bits, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Before we move to FL, a couple of comments. We've got Ross says, this is the last year of paying for stem separation. It'll soon be free everywhere. Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I hope that's true. But then we see like MPC just came out and they're charging. So I hope you're right. I think it's a really cool feature to have. Of course, we start getting into crazy copyright territory and all that type of stuff. But I mean, that's for someone else to worry about, I guess. Smiling Air says FL Studio is like that. Melody captures a lot. I think honestly, they all are. Serato Studio, which I really wanted to do. And I'll try and do it for the Discord because Serato is like the cleanest stem separation I've heard. But I couldn't get it. I think they might have paywalled it. And I couldn't get it at the moment. But we'll see. I'll try for the Discord later. Smiley Ears also says, but I rate the FL stems. All right. So shall we move on then? Or do either of you have anything you want to add about the Koala stem sup?
No, I'm keen to move on.
Okay. Let's do, I forget which one we did first. Was it vocals?
We did vocals, then we did drums, and then we did melodies.
Okay. We didn't do bass, but I didn't find it did the bass very well. I don't know if we want to just be fair and show all four of each, but we also have time constraints.
Yeah, we're just really quick.
Yeah. There's a lot of other things coming.
Come on.
One thing to add is I have three or four basses here, one in the low end, one in the mids, one in the high end. I always split my bass. They're all playing the same thing, and they all have. Unlike you, I think, Curtis, not everyone's playing low end. I have them EQ'd. So one is just doing the low end, one is just doing the mids, one is just doing the high end. And different ones have different amounts of distortion and saturation and things like that. Yeah, Ross says muddy, very muddy. That came out. And I'm wondering if it's struggling because it's sensing the bass in the upper regions. And so it's trying to take that into, like, incorporate that in. I'm not sure. But
that's kind of you to suggest.
I'm just saying... I don't think that's not what I mean, Smiling Air. What I mean is the bass is playing the same part, but I have either one is doing like an octave higher and really quiet, but I have three typically that do the same part and I just EQ. So one is only doing the low end, one is doing the mids, one is doing the highs. It's kind of like if I used a multiband compressor, but I'm just controlling the volumes of each and I don't want distortion on the low end. So I'm adding distortion in the mids and the highs and then I can control the volume of each. So they're not all doing different things. They're not all hitting low end. Just one is doing one of each. So Curtis, I don't know if that's the same as what you do, but yeah.
If you're thinking he's still got the cheek to take the mic out of Curtis, that's still... four bass tracks less than Curtis.
Yeah, it's true. And that's Curtis on his lowest setting. I think usually he's doing like 16. Like he's just trying to challenge himself with limitations of 8.
that number keeps getting more and more every week. But I mean, I like that one. I tell you
but
what,
if you haven't done that with your bass, I recommend trying it. It's a really good way to get control in different areas, and then you could even only sidechain the low end so that the upper bass parts don't sidechain. And it there's some really interesting options with how you do it there. Shall we move on to FL?
Yeah,
I would say MPC. I would say go up. So like, if Koala is six, if Koala is six, MPC is nine, because FL Studio is a whole DAW.
Yeah. So that's like,
That's true. That's a good point. Okay, so we have price-wise versus expectation-wise, but I think you're right. We should do price. That makes a lot of sense because we have, I think it's, so the Koala one, you can buy Koala for, I believe, prices may have changed, but I believe it's $5. And then the stem separation comes in one of the two additional priced ones. So altogether, it's probably like $15. I think each one's like $5, but you get piano roll, you get stem separation, you get EQs per pad, you get, four bus effects and a master effects channel and some effects. That's if you buy both of these updates for, I think, about $15. So, but for just the stems, I believe it's like $5 or $6. And we can put corrections if there are in the comments. But yeah, so FL will do last then. That's a good idea. So MPC for $10. Let's see what we can get with that. Shall we start with vocals, Curtis?
Yeah, I agree. Let's keep this as controlled as possible. So this is MPC Father Vocals.
A lot cleaner, but still hear that like filter.
You know what it is? You know what it is? It's very hyper pop. Very hyper pop. It's very glitchy and in a good way. Like it's very. The different aspects, because obviously you've doubled up your vocals and tripled up your vocals.
Well, so there's a double of the like the main line, and then there's harmonies that pop up. Yeah. And when it starts popping up, it almost sounds like it's doing some weird micro tuning or pitch changes. Like there's this weird, I'm forgetting, but there's that one Soundtoys plugin. Is it Alter? You can do that like Formant filtering. Formant, you can do. It sounds like there's a Formant going on the vocals there or something, because it starts to sound kind of trippy.
Well, yeah, so that's cool. I like how that it kind of, if you're extracting a vocal in that regard for just to do like a straight sample, without manipulation, it's not going to do you too good. But if you're then going to take those vocals and play with them and destroy them in a certain way, that sounds pretty good to me.
So it is a lot cleaner, though. I mean, you're still getting some artifacting, but remember that first vocal part on Koala was like, phasing in and out, going up and down in volume, just kind of like crazy. This one, at least, while there's some weird filtering or something going on, you can actually understand what's being said and stuff. Like the vocals are a lot cleaner. Ian, like anything you want to add?
Yeah, I'm just toying in my head with the idea of, do I like the ones that are less successful more?
It's tough, isn't it?
It's kind really of like isn't it? Like pining for MP3 quality, right? You know, in the lossless age, like, oh, I kind of like the artifacts in MP3, or like, oh, I like the distortion of tape qualities or stuff.
I think from a lo-fi messing around point of view, there are definitely benefits, the things that don't stem separate very well.
Yeah. And I will say this is probably a harder track to separate because there's a lot going on and a lot of vocals, but I think that's a good metric to test. Like,
lot of overlap in the frequency ranges, isn't there? But
exactly. And that's thing I was saying with Koala, that it might struggle with that. Like it was trying to catch those bass parts in the higher melodies or higher frequencies. And because of that, it got caught with stuff. But I think that's a good metric though. Test it with complex stuff to see what can it really do. You know, yeah, it's easy to throw something that has just like four tracks on it and see what it does. But like, can it do the more complex stuff? All right, let's do drums.
Okay, it's the drums.
That's a lot cleaner.
They're very clean. Very clean.
A lot cleaner.
And it's not that weird doubling on the kick.
Yeah. Although,
I hear some guitar, I think, though, in that when the guitar comes in right there.
Tiny bit, yeah.
Definitely a bit of pad coming through there. But generally speaking,
it's a bit too good, really, there. Because it's not as good as the drum track itself, right? It's, you know, slightly degraded, not quite the same quality. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't got any artifacts that kind of make it interesting or anything.
I would suppose, though, for getting one shots from a sample, this would be pretty good because of how clean it is, at least in some parts.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like you could get a good kick from it. Because the one thing I find in Koala when I try to get a kick is usually there's a little bit of bass in it. So you have a tone that if you're trying to go in a different key, it's not going to work now unless you work to repitch it or something like that. Curtis, what's your take?
I echo the idea of the one shots. I think with a little bit of transient cutting, I think you could clean that up quite nicely.
Yeah.
You can just make that a little bit tighter, which is nice in that regard. Very doable for $11. Yeah, that's pretty solid in that regard.
Yeah. All right, let's check out the melody.
Other, I believe, in this one, yeah?
Fair enough. Yeah, I named it Melody. It's usually listed as Other. I just put Melody, you know, just so for my reference.
I got you.
Other's pretty descriptive as to how it's created, isn't it?
Yeah. You know me, I give the benefit of the doubt, I guess. So I'm nice and I put Melody.
I got you. All right, here we go.
It trips up a little bit when the vocals hit. It tries to like duck it out or something.
It does, but at the same time, MPC, thinking about the modality, the methodology. If you're an MPC, you're beat making. You know, you throw it in. You might chop a bar, chop two bars, and like throw that in, and then make something else with that. That is perfectly fine. Perfectly fine to do.
Yeah. I think that's a very fair point to make, is that if you're trying to just get free, like if you want to just get the drums out of a track so you can use the main parts of a song without the drums, so you can add your own drums on top, this works really well for that. And it's not getting much of the bleed from the drums, whereas Koala, there was a little bit. So, I mean, it really depends what you're doing. I think we're trying to show like the absolute quality that it creates. But that's definitely a good point to make, is depending on your use for this type of stem separation, it's definitely workable. If you just want to get the drums out or just get the drums, like MPC is definitely going to get it there for sure, at least according to this track. Yeah. Do we want to hear the other two, or the, what is it? We have one more part left, right? The bass.
Anyone hear the bass?
Yeah, let's just do that quick.
Right. Yeah.
One shots, definitely.
There's some weird, like, clipping almost in it, though. Mm. And Bit Crush. You hear that?
Yeah,
like
a little bit of that, yeah.
That's not in my bass originally.
Kind of like it, though.
It almost adds that, like, dubstep or drum and bass. Mm. What is it? Reese bass?
Speakerphone as well.
Yeah. Like, but is it Reese bass? What's that one bass that does that, like, LFO on the filter?
Yeah, Reese bass, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it kind of sounds like to me, with that like swell and things like that. Lovely. Okay, shall we move to FL, or is there anything, Ian, like that you want to add, and then we'll go to Curtis about MPC?
No, I can hold off. Let's hear the last set.
Okay, let's do it.
So we'll take this in the same vein, and we come back here. So we'll start with the vocals. So yeah, FL, I believe Smiling Errors uses FL. So I think he's used this a lot more myself, but these are, anyway, let's play it.
In the wake of fading desire, silver strands make it out of the sea. As the horizon steals farther from me.
Wow. That's pretty clear.
Very clear.
And this is coming through the internet artifacting.
I
was not expecting that.
I've got the original here, and it's pretty damn clean for what it is.
Wow.
Yeah. Can really have some fun.
And is that free or is that paid? Well, no, like, I know you have to pay for FL, right? But is it?
It's all part of it. So it's all part. If you buy the FL edition, you get this as part of it now. As far as 21.1, I think, or 21.
And how much is FL?
A good question.
I'll look it up. Continue let's go with drums.
Let's go with drums. So yeah, this is drums.
It's still getting a little guitar bleed, but
it works just percussion though.
Yeah, yeah. That kick is really clean.
The kick and the snare come through really well. Every other stem separation we've listened to has this like strange filtering to it, or comb filtering, or format, depending on the split. These sound pretty precise. This reminds me of Serato Studio, where it's like very good at separating these things. And again, I'll try to get Serato up and running and show it. It's just if it's paid, I can't get that right now. But if it's still free to do the stem separation.
For drums would be lots of cymbal content.
Yeah. So it looks like I'm looking on FL Studio and it says the Fruity Edition is $99. The Producer Edition is $200. Signature Bundle, $300. All Plugins Edition, $500. So I'm not sure what's... it says the Fruity Edition, there's no audio recording. So we're looking at least at $200 for at least like a featured version, it seems like. And Smiling Errors, or you who use it, can correct me on anything I'm looking at. All right. What are the other ones we still need to listen through? Other and bass, or instruments and bass?
Instruments and bass. So in the name of keeping it as a controlled experiment, let's do instruments. Pretty good. You're getting the high end of the kick.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is there some like clicking or something going on? I think that's the kick coming through. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
The instrumentation definitely, as far as I've experienced it, is the weaker part of it. Of what it does. It's very good for vocals, very good for drums, but yes, it does get a bit weaker in that regard. But pretty clean, and while things are coming through, it's very little artifacting.
Yeah. Interesting. And then lastly, we've got bass. Let's just listen to that and then we'll give our final thoughts on it. There's no bit crush.
But there is a little bit of the keys coming through.
Yeah.
It's got to be the winner, though.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think the only weakness on FL is the instruments. I want to say... from my recollection live, I feel like the MPC instruments might have been a little cleaner, the instrument part, but maybe I'm misremembering. But everything else, I mean, that FL definitely is the winner.
I think so.
And we'll put the actual sounds, we'll put those sounds in the Discord. So if you want to hear what they actually sound like, not through internet compression and artifacting and things like that, it'll be over on the Discord. Spanger says certain guitar noises are definitely in the frequency of percussion. I'll be impressed when they figure that out. Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. Those are the palm muting those guitar, and they're high notes, so that transient has a lot of high end to it, so it doesn't surprise me it comes through. But that's kind of what we're saying, is let's throw the hardest thing or something hard at these stem separators and see what it can do. Like, what are they actually capable of? And so, I mean, yeah, I'm really impressed with how FL turned out. I was not expecting that.
What about favorites then?
In terms of what, like favorites for each part?
Well, that's kind of the question, really, isn't it?
Are you talking favorites like just overall, like all four together, or separate? Like, which one was your favorite for drums? Which was your favorite for this?
You tell me.
You brought it up. You tell us.
Well, for example, I find myself avoiding the MPC. It kind of sits in the middle. You know, it's quite good. It's not bad. There are some artifacts. For me, Koala's got some interesting artifacts that I think are good. Probably do something creative with and kind of make me want to do different stuff with those samples, and FL Studio was just clearly better for a good separation. So, you know, it depends obviously what you want to do with it. If you want to actually get some proper separation, then FL Studio. But if you want some weird mangledy kind of separate into certain types of sound that you can use, because I must say I do really like the other tracks. It's like the complex harmonic and partly rhythmical content of a track with no drums and no vocals. It kind of it's brilliant program material to either run through savage chopping effects or filter effects.
Savage. Because
you know, the more complex the material is, the more you hear the effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when you listen to it, it almost sounds like you're listening to an effect send rather than, you know, a proper channel, if you see what I mean. I don't know if you've ever listened to an effect send.
Oh, yeah.
Me.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of that. It's like you didn't send any kick or snare to that particular effect, you know. And as such, there's a lot of stuff you could do with it. I also think it might work quite well for sampling complex pads because, you know, you've got harmonic content, lots of it, so there's a good strong note there. But you've also got a lot of different instruments and high-end information twinkling away and a little bit of plucky guitar as well. It could be quite a good pad. So there's a lot of stuff I think you can do with it. I find myself liking the Koala less successful.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean because it has that kind of artifact to it that actually gives it character, and then you can do something trippy with it. Because those little warped sounds that are popping up of the guitar in the drum sound or something, if you can keep it in that key, you can get something really interesting out of it. And I'm actually doing that with vinyl on Koala in a couple weeks for a YouTube video where I sampled vinyl in, and then I'm stem separating it to get vocals. And the weirdness it does to the vocals actually aids its sound in terms of making it like kind of a boom bap beep. Because I took a song from Thrice, they're like rock and they go through all different genres, but so I took that, and the way it did these artifacts on the vocals fits well to kind of do that sort of looped sound that you're just like sampling and putting in and stuff like that. So it's interesting. And with the vinyl, it's another layer because now it's got the little crackles and things like that that it has to work around. It's interesting. I get what you mean. But then on the other hand, I think it's cool that MPC has this offer in a piece of hardware. Now, yes, it has to be, it sounds like, connected to the program in the computer or something, but they may be, I don't know, adding, if it can get to standalone, I think it's really cool to have that feature like we have in Koala where you can have a piece of hardware and it just separates it right there so you can just make the beat portable. So I think it's cool that hardware is getting this. That's what I want to say. And that if that's what you're using, that you have this option now in a sampler is really awesome. And I get what you mean. It's kind of the middle of the road, but in terms of if you're using the MPC for the kind of classic MPC idea of chop these samples up, now you get this layer of I can get these drums separate and make one shots. I can get this melody or instrument part separate from the drums, and I don't have to make the chops all based on kick, snare, hi-hat, you know? So,
although you might have some challenges with overlap and all the rest of it, you know, you could be clever about which parts of a song that you separate. If you're looking for particular sounds and there is a drum breakdown and you want drums, it's like, well, of course you'll separate that part, not the bit where there's loads of other stuff playing. So, I mean, you know, we deliberately gave it a lot of work to do, didn't we? But, you know, you could be selective about what you do and work around it and probably get better results.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Curtis, what's your final take on this? You got to do the FL, so I'm curious. Having to use that one because I did Koala, Abby very kindly did the MPC, and then you did the FL.
Yeah, I am inclined to always go on just for my workflow to go for cleaner and then destroy them myself or manipulate them and glitch them out. But also I've maybe that's just coming from the space of I have FL, and I've just, as soon as there was a stem separation, I went, okay, cool. I don't need anything else because I have FL.
Yeah.
And then I've got an array of plugins to kind of manipulate them myself. I have found a lot of fun in taking stems, some old stuff that I was listening to when I was a child, and making weird covers of them, so to speak, keeping the integrity of the tune while completely destroying it at the same time. So, and that's where I'm at, and I like that. I echo what you're saying, like that, as you brought it up, so thank you for bringing it up, this notion of within the artifacting there is this serendipity which allows for magic to unfurl in a wonderful way.
Sounds like a Disney movie or something.
It does. But I like having the clean separation. And I just, again, I use it for teaching. I use it for to manipulate my own stems. I like that, and I'm going to stick with that for now because I have it. I have access to it.
Yeah, so, definitely. I mean, yeah. I think especially for teaching or for learning purposes, like what I was talking about with covers and things like that. Like, I never learned more from than when I did breaking down of songs. Like, okay, this is how they did that part, and hearing those individual parts and just feeling like understanding why that was there and what it was. So I can understand the cleaner stem separation, especially in that aspect. But also, if you're doing sample based music, you'll probably want cleaner. But there's something to be said about the artifacting. But also, for about $5 or, well, 10, let's say, because you have to get the app, the fact that you can have any form of stem separation in your pocket in a phone is just crazy to me, because I can just sample from like Spotify. I can just hold my microphone up and take sounds and see what stem separation does to random sounds out in the world, like what Ian Lake was saying with the pad. Or if I'm working in the DAW setup, I can do stem separation and send it into the DigiTact or the SP. So to me, I think it's really cool that there's this portability option. It's as artifacty as it might be, it's there for just a couple bucks. Like, I can just sample and stem separate anywhere, and I love the workflow of Koala, so it's fun then to get one shots from that. But I'd love to see if they could update the stem separation algorithm or quality on Koala to be, you know, as things get better and better, like if they can update it, that would be really cool to see. But also offer that older version for the Ian Lakes of the world that want that artifacting.
Another paywall. It will be fun to see. I think was it Ross who said it? It's the last year that you have to pay for stem separation. I do believe it'll get better as well. And one of these days, I really hope that we will see the difference between, say, chords and leads. Then guitar, synthesizer, maybe at some point we'll see. But the where we've come, because we did a show, and as you started off, Don Warper, at the beginning of the segment, we talked about doing the RipX stuff and how interesting yet artifacty that was. And that was, I think it was less than a year ago, and suddenly we're
I want to go back and find those stems, because I recall it being pretty clean, but maybe I'm mistaken.
I think well, maybe from mine, but maybe that's just because I make weird ass wishy-washy music and you're a lot more cleaner and concise than I am.
But we heard it struggle with this song of mine, so who knows.
We'll see.
And it was that song I split. I'll try to, there's a video I made on my YouTube doing it, so I'll try to find it and see.
Just as an addition to that, I have just put the stems for what we've done here, including the full track of Father, into the Discord, into the ADSN channel on the Discord server. You
beat me to it. Thanks for that. Because then I don't have to do it.
It's all right, man. I've got the stems here. I put it through. It is a Wii transfer. Again, I come back to it. We don't have Nitro right now, which means we're limited to 25 megs of upload, which means that I've done it as a Wii transfer file. So you can click on that. It'll be valid for 7 days, which means that if by this time next week, by the time ADSN 108 comes out, you won't be able to have it. But if you are interested, I can re-upload, and I will do that in perpetuity until it's no longer.
Yeah, and when I get some time, I'm going to try to take like that first 30-40 seconds of the four equivalents with the original stems, so the vocals, the drums, and the other, and the bass. I like that. And I'll put that on the Discord when I can get around to it. It might be a little bit, as you all know, it was a difficult week, but I think it'll be interesting to hear what the bass actually sounds like, what the vocals actually sound like, and stuff like that, because there's a lot that it artifact that it added to all of the stems, even the cleanest ones of like FL. I'm still really impressed by FL. That's not what I was expecting.
It is dope. I do like it. I love FL. I've recently fallen back into a little love affair with FL, going back on a bit of a nostalgia trip on how it works and what it does.
Can you link Ableton, and because like you can do, I forget what it's called, but Rewire or whatever, you can have like Reason running in Logic, or you can have different DAWs working in tandem, and like one is chained to the other one or works under the other one, and the audio goes through like a routing of a DALA setup, like FL's audio goes into Ableton and things like that. Reason actually became a rack, so you can add it as an instrument to any DAW and then use Reason within it, and then all the audio and MIDI like goes through your main plug, your main DAW. It's really cool.
I never had much fun with Rewire. It caused a lot of problems. And
yeah, I had a lot of issues when Reason was a while ago. Yeah, Logic and Reason used to have, I'd have a lot of issues, but when it would work, it was really cool because I could do like all the MIDI and Reason, and then this was before they did all this, the changes, but the older versions, like you could do the MIDI and then the audio would come through for processing.
It's a bit like the composite interfaces you can do on a Mac where you have multiple inputs and on different devices, and you can create a software one that has all of those inputs on, but it really messes up latency up and is generally not worth doing because of it, you know. I found it particularly helpful. But it's been a while.
I would like it's a lot different now with Reason because it works just in another DAW.
I'd like to give it a try. If anyone knows, I'd be curious, purely because the one thing I miss about FL is the step sequencer and the ability to create beats really, really quickly. So if anyone knows anything about that, please let us know, because that would be something worth experimenting with just for the poos and gigs, as they say.
nice self-catch there.
Learning, brother. Learning from me.
There we go. Eon like got us last week or 2 weeks ago. That's all right. All right, let's go to the last section. We'll be quick, but what we're up to this week, unless either of you have anything else you want to say about stem separation. We're good. All right, so Eon, like, what have you got going on this week?
Well, if I'm entirely honest, the same thing that I had going on last week.
There we go.
I don't really get to a lot of it. So I've still got a bunch of things that I'd planned to do. But I'm also updating things. I've noticed there are a few upgrades that I need to onboard, which I'm doing. And I'm also having listened to a few inspiring interviews, I am just delving into polysynth at the moment and all the effects and everything that I've got on the Cobalt and trying to come up with some new and interesting patches to use. So I'm doing a fair bit of sound design at the moment. That and running stuff out through the modular again for sound design purposes.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. And Curtis, what do you got going on this week?
Just before that, I remember us being here last year with Eon Lake doing a load of updating. And that's when we had the whole MIDI driver episode.
Oh, no.
This is going to be...
I've got a standalone MIDI host.
There we go.
Lives with my drum kit.
There we go.
We'll see. This week, brother, what am I doing? I'm going to make a proper shoot at your remix. It's been there. It's been sitting in the DAW for a while. I have everything kind of there. I'm going to sequence, start producing it, get that down. I think that's my priority this week. We also have a lot of back office stuff for Audionautic. I've got back covers to make. I've got CD templates to make. I've got videos to make. Yeah, a lot of editing this week. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. That's what we'll be doing. What about you?
Well, I forgot that tomorrow is actually 404 day, and so I hastily but with quality finished a video that I had been working on that I had slated for later, that's all about the SP404, so that'll come out tomorrow. So I got that done, and then I'm still working on that live set, and I discovered that you can MIDI CC all of the effects of the SP to other gear. And so I can control the effects with the DigiTact. And so it's a little less movement I have to do. If I like need to stay by the DigiTact, I can do effects on that.
Does that mean you can step lock them?
I think so. I still have to check out. But if that's the case, that's going to be pretty trippy, because you can set one knob to change the effect. So you could either just leave it on one effect, or you could like manually switch it. But those encoders move quick, and it's 1 through 41 changes what effect you're using. So it's kind of annoying to do that. But you could have multiple ones set to different ones or whatever, and it's really cool. And then channel 1 is bus 1. Channel 2 is bus 2. So you could do all these different things. It's crazy. So my live set's gotten a little change up. but I want to get that done soon. And then I'm just wondering if we'll see anything new from the 404, either 4.0 update tomorrow. I just saw an email from Guitar Center that said, like, we've got something to announce for 404 day. I'm assuming that's probably just a pricing change for the SP404. It says April 4th is celebrated worldwide as 404 day, and this year we are pumped to share some exciting news with you about this modern classic. Keep your eyes peeled and ears to the ground for more from us soon. I'm just wondering, it's been a while since the 3.0 update. I would love to see a 4.0 update, and what I would really like to see is, one, side chaining, please. Two, I would love, they have an ADR, not ADSR, but for every pad, can we get at least a high and low cut for every pad? Like, how much is that to ask for? And then I'd really, really love to see live looping.
That would be fun.
Because it has the, like, it should have the ability to do live looping because of the way the pattern sequencer works, the way the recording works, and the way the resample works. I see no reason why it can't do it other than it cannibalizing the 505 and them not wanting that to happen. But I'd love to see it. Like, please. At least the sidechain. Come on. But, you know, maybe a couple more effects too, because they made a third page for effects and there's only three on it. And that was two updates ago.
Yeah.
I would like to see a price come down a little bit.
That's what I'm expecting all this means, that email. I bet it's just like $50 off. But they said news, so, you know, I don't know. I'm hoping. 4.0 update. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Eon Lake, are you going to be buying anything on 404 day?
He has a 404, but he buys things every day, so.
See if there's any free packs or anything I can download.
Yeah, they might. They've done that before where they had some packs, some like drum packs and stuff. So maybe.
I'll have a look.
I would really like to hear. I know we're about to wrap up, so maybe in the Discord, but if you can put it in before we go, I'd love to hear everyone in the chat's take on which stem separation they preferred in terms of the three and why. Did you like the artifacty type for the creativity of it, you know, in terms of how you could do it, or do you just like it to be as clean as possible? I'd love to hear if you're watching this back on Apple and Spotify. It will be the question. On Apple, you'll have to head to the Discord, but put it in the comments if you're watching back here on YouTube, or just go to the Discord and let us know. But I really am curious to hear everybody's take, because I mean, stem separation isn't going anywhere. It's a really interesting new thing, and I'm just curious to hear whether people like the cleanest sound, you know, the most pristine, or if those artifacts like Eon Lake have kind of a appeal to them, or an allure.
An allure,
as you would say.
I think on that we will wrap for the day. Thank you ever so much to everyone being here. Go check out the stems in the Discord. Come say hello. Be part of this month's challenge for the 15th of May. It's gonna be good.
Oh, really quickly, I want to run this little bit. I don't know. Did you get to update the Patreon run? Okay. So we're good then, but I'll run this anyways. Massive thanks to all of the patrons who support us and help us do this every week. And all of you in the comments, it means the world to always have you all with us and all these interesting conversations and get your opinions on this stuff. Curtis, anything you want to add? I know we do have a playlist. We're working on getting it on multiple other streaming platforms. There's some website, I think Eon Lake and Curtis figured out, that should be able to do that. So when we update it, which it did just get an update, the Spotify link's in the description, but the other ones will go up soon. Curtis?
I'll be curious on that note, without going down too much of a tangent. What are people listening on? If it is streaming, is it Tidal? Is it Apple Music? Is it Deezer? Is it Pandora? What is it? It's probably not Pandora, but
Bandcamp?
Like, Is it
I know a good number of our patrons love their Bandcamp.
Yeah, it's probably, it is. Yeah, I mean, I use Bandcamp a lot, and it's my main source. I would like.
Smiling here says YouTube.
YouTube, interesting. Okay, I would be curious.
Is that YouTube Music or just YouTube?
I'd like to know. If we are going to expand our outlets and where we put it, it'd be good to prioritize where people actually put it. For example, I use Tidal, and I mean, so I'll make a Tidal link. But I'm not going to make an Amazon Music one if no one is on Amazon Music.
Hey, there's dozens of them.
Mm.
Well, Apple, I think, is a good one. Definitely.
Apple's definitely a good one.
And Smiling Earth says just regular. Interesting. Okay. Because there is that YouTube Music. All right. Well, with that, Eon Lake, anything you want to add, or shall we just get on out of here and talk in the Discord?
Discord.
All right. Shall I play the outro, Curtis? Or do you have it queued up?
Okay. You do it. Play the brand new outro video. And one more bit of Radio 4 voice from Ian Lake before we go.
This is not Radio 4.
There we go. Yeah, that's a good clause to have right there. All right. Well, thank you for watching. Head to the Discord if you want to continue the conversation. And with that, we will see you next week at 11 a.m. Pacific. And I believe we're back to 7 p.m. UTC. The crazy time changes are a thing of the past for the next couple months or whatever until the next one. Always awesome to have you with us. And we'll see you next week.